Hello, everyone. Good morning and welcome to Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin for another week, another episode, another conversation of this big old conversation that we've been in for many years now. Can't believe I can say many years. It's still hilarious to me that we've done it for this long. And you are all extremely welcome here, however you're listening, however long you've known us for, whether you've just landed on us by random or whether you know us from some of our work that we do. Maybe you've come into one of our spaces as a guest or something and you're caught, you know, curious to learn more. Everybody is so welcome. And obviously there's lots of different ways you might be listening. You might be on a podcast, might be here live on Facebook, maybe on YouTube, all kinds of different places. So thank you for being with us. We acknowledge many times that this isn't just a conversation between us, Justin, that it's a conversation between us and many, many other people, which is such a delight. And every time I hear that someone else is benefiting from this, I get this renewed kind of excitement that we're in conversation with people that we don't even know, but we would know and love if we actually met them. And then when you do actually get to meet people who listen and join in, it's completely delightful. So I'm so grateful for everybody listening and everybody being here, and grateful for you, Justin, for being a person that chooses the sources that you choose. It's so wonderful. And thank you for this week's one of my favorite humans. And he doesn't even know I exist. Nick Cave. I think it's probably that way around in lots of cases with Nick Cave, that many people love him, but he doesn't know that they exist, or at least he does know, but not really in an individual way. And I've been reading his book, Justin, Faith, Hope and Carnage. And it's incredibly brilliant. If anybody feels like learning more about Nick and his life and, my goodness me, and his creativity and his family, and he's so disclosive and so warm and brilliant. And it's kind of in a conversational style, so it's very easy to read, which I really love. And so I'm very glad to be talking about him and his source today.
Mm. Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, everyone. I want to extend my welcome to all of you who are here with us and just say, like I sometimes say at the end, but I'll say at the beginning, if you know of other people who might benefit from this conversation or these conversations, please share it with them, because that is really the only way that people find their way to us, is because somebody told them about this. So you're very welcome to do that. It was so funny, Lizzie, when I was choosing the source for this week, I was sure that we had had a ton of Nick Cave's writing. And so I did what I always do and went back to the turningtowards.life website, which has, as you know, has all the sources and you can search them. So I searched for Nick Cave, and there was only one in the 5 years that we've been doing this. We read Nick Cave once before. And I realized that the reason is because I have this huge stack of things that he's written in my possible Turning Towards Life sources, including many paragraphs from Faith, Hope and Carnage, which I've also read, which I think is beautiful. And found deeply moving, and I sort of devoured it in a couple of days, a few weeks ago. So I really love the idea that we know and love Nick Cave, and he has no idea in a specific, concrete sense who we each are. And that is really closely related to what he writes as well here. And it's giving me the joy of feeling, and I want to address this to who everyone we're speaking with and having this conversation, all of those of you who know us, but we don't yet know you. Because on a smaller scale than Nick Cave, for sure, but the same dynamic is here with us, Lizzie. The lovely thing is we can say to everyone, we'd love to hear from you. So if you're somebody who knows us, but we don't yet know you, you can email us hello@turningtowards.life is one way, or you could join our Turning Towards Life Facebook group and we can get to know you that way, which would be a great joy. So this source is, as always, available on our Facebook group and on our website. And in the email that comes out, if you sign up for that at turningtowards.life, and in the show notes for the podcast, all those places you can find it. But more importantly, it is on Nick Cave's Red Hand Files website, where he writes very often, very generously. So this is an excerpt from that. The everyday human gesture is always a heartbeat away from the miraculous. That ultimately we make things happen through our actions way beyond our understanding or intention. That our seemingly small, ordinary human acts have untold consequences. That what we do in this world means something. That we are not nothing, and that our most quotidian human actions, by their nature, burst the seams of our intent and spill meaningfully and radically through time and space, changing everything. Our deeds, no matter how insignificant they may feel, are replete with meaning and a vast consequence, and they constantly impact upon the unfolding story of the world, whether we know it or not. All action provokes change. Nothing is ineffectual. Nothing. Rather than feel impotent and useless, you must come to terms with the fact that as a human being, you are infinitely powerful and take responsibility for this tremendous power. Even our smallest actions have potential for great change, positively or negatively, and the way in which we all conduct ourselves within the world means something. You are anything but impotent. You are, in fact, exquisitely and frighteningly dynamic, as are we all. And with all respect, you have an obligation to stand up and take responsibility for that potential. It is your most ordinary and urgent duty.
Thank you, Justin. A heartbeat away from the miraculous. The everyday human gesture is always a heartbeat away from the miraculous. That ultimately we make things happen through our actions, way beyond our understanding or intention. That our seemingly small, ordinary human acts have untold consequences. That what we do in this world means something. That we are not nothing. And that our most quotidian human actions, by their nature, burst the seams of our intent and spill meaningfully and radically through space and time, changing everything. Our deeds, no matter how insignificant they may feel, are replete with meaning and of vast consequence, and they constantly impact upon the unfolding story of the world, whether we know it or not. All action provokes change. Nothing is ineffectual. Nothing. Rather than feel impotent and useless, you must come to terms with the fact that as a human being, you are infinitely powerful, and take responsibility for this tremendous power. Even our smallest actions have potential for great change, positively or negatively, and the way in which we all conduct ourselves within the world means something. You are anything but impotent. You are, in fact, exquisitely and frighteningly dynamic, as are we all. And with all respect, you can have an obligation to stand up and take responsibility for that potential. It is your most ordinary and urgent duty.
Bush, I love the idea of an ordinary and urgent duty, like something that's in the everyday that's ours. It was so hope-making in me to feel you. What happened in me as you read that, Lizzie, and as I read it, because one of my reasons for choosing this is the feeling I very often have, which is most familiar to me right in those first part of the day after I've woken up, which tells me, some part of me that tells me, the world is too big, I'm too small, everything's so complex and so beyond my understanding. How could I possibly make any difference here at all? Mm. And that part of me, I know, wants to protect me by, and it's a very sort of sweet and unhelpful kind of protection in a way, sweet in the sense of well-intentioned and momentarily relieving, which is to sort of disappear under my duvet and pretend that I don't exist. And I'm so glad for Nick Cave for saying, that's not how things are. You really need to pay attention here. Mm. It's very, very helpful. I notice in his writing that the that the act of us telling one another that we matter matters. So I'm not just reading this as a sort of bit of philosophy about how people are and how we are in the world and what free will is. And I've got lots, I've got lots of thoughts and feelings about all of that. But actually, I think what's most important to me right now is that Nick is saying, you matter, what you do matters. Take great care of it. And know that you are of consequence. And that relational act of him saying it seems so important to me, that we say this to one another. And that we don't only rely on ourselves to remember it.
Yeah.
Because I think maybe when we're on our own in the world is so huge. I mean, I'm not going to begin to come up with adjectives for how big, much bigger existence is than each of us in our physical size or its complexity or something. I realize I really need people to say to me, you matter, what you do matters, and you're a consequence. And that also then reminds me that it's my job to say that to other people too, that this isn't all just that I'm not the sort of sole recipient of this message. So you matter, Lizzie, and I matter, and Nick matters, and everyone who's listening to this. I so feel and think that this is true, that every action we take is of consequence, no matter whether it is a giant public act that 100 million people are going to know about, or some intensely private act that only I will witness directly. That all of that, and I want to read this bit, bursts the seams of our intent and spills meaningfully and radically through time and space, changing everything. When I know that, when somebody else takes the trouble to remind me of that, what it awakens in me is a kind of deep care for. It reminds me that my intent really, really does matter, and that how I choose to attend to the world really does matter. I think that can only be a good thing when we do that. I mean, good for each of us, but good for all of us.
Yeah, I can. So I can tell that this is a turning towards life source, Justin, because it does the same thing as normally happens to me, which is I get kind of, I arrive here having just kerfuffled around with an egg and managed to get myself sitting in the chair, and Vespa's got Play-Doh everywhere and is telling me that I have to dance up the stairs if I'm allowed to leave the room, and, whatever the just happenedness is. Which all has its like profound beauty, but also it's like we're in our own space. I'm in a small world. And then all of a sudden I sit down and get with the source and you read it to me. And I get kind of shot out into something very, very big, something much bigger than my kind of blinkered small perception of life that seems to come about in my habitual ways. And so somehow I think one of the functions of turning towards life for me, and maybe for other people, is it does this miraculous something of connecting us to something bigger, which is what Nick's writing is inviting me into. And so I'm seeing more and more that the way that we choose sources, Justin, is that they're connected to something far more vast than our ordinary habitual ways of feeling small and afraid and insignificant and lonely and all of the things that you could say about, maybe a popcorn kernel or something. They're like the opposite of that. They include the popcorn kernel, but also write about and feel about and sense into something much, much more aligned with probably what we truly are. The truth of a human being is this kind of vastness. And so I'm appreciating how Nick and his imagination, his reality, his way of seeing and feeling and being in the world catapults me into a wider understanding of what it is to be human. And it's just not a given that this is the kind of thing he writes. you know, I love it that he is this person who, I mean, I don't think I have any clue about the kind of the extent of his creative output or whatever, but that he can be this musical person that doesn't only do music, but addresses human beings in their suffering and holds these kind of spaces and conversations for our deepening and our growth. And it makes me so hopeful that that is who he is and what he does in the world. And I know like barely anything about it by comparison to probably what he's up to in the world. And so I feel thrown into something bigger. And like what comes to me, Justin, as well, is like all of the little things that I have done in my life, I can suddenly kind of go back and allow them to be of consequences that I don't understand or know about, which is a really beautiful thing to do. Like looking back at yesterday and noticing the way I spoke to a young person who I've never met before and telling him that I'm going to go and see his play because he's playing Macbeth on the 7th of February. And I literally just met him, but he seemed really lovely and he's a friend of my niece. And I just said, well, I'll come to your play. You know, who knows what impact that had? And I hadn't thought this until now. Who knows what that is to have an adult say, I'll come and see you. I don't know you, but I'm really happy to come. And can you get me a ticket, please? And just small things like that that I walk away from and don't really think about again. And so having this heartbeat away from the miraculousness feeling of all of the ways that I interacted with the world yesterday, and then obviously my whole lots of years, it's a very different way than just throwing it all away. So I notice I can just throw everything away. Oh, that's happened. That doesn't matter anymore. And likewise, I could throw everything away from today. But to feel this mattering, to feel this powerfulness of each of our actions, and that there are consequences and there's responsibility to be taken. I think sometimes that can feel quite onerous, but I don't feel that in this moment. I feel like there's opportunity to make a difference. There's opportunity to impact others and the world. And if I make this term infinitely powerful part of my story of what it is to be me, which I can do because I'm human. Like I get that privilege. I can decide, I can say, oh, I can include that in the story of who I am, that I have power. If I have power, what then am I going to do? How am I going to act? How am I going to reflect? How am I going to do today? So I feel made powerful by the act of being told that I'm powerful.
Very touched by the what you just said about this conversation you had with someone you'd never met before, and what came up in me was all the tiny interactions that I have, any of us has during the day, how we speak to someone, how we look at someone, the tone in which we respond to something, how we move our bodies, how we gesture, how much time we spend on this or that. And if we could see them, I could feel that the, you know, part of the consequence of the way that Nick is writing about this is this sense that each of those spills radically through time and space, changing everything, but we really can't know in what way it's going to change everything. But maybe the best we can do is to treat every time we act, to treat it with the sort of sacredness of we're planting a seed somehow. We can't know exactly what the seed is going to grow into, but could we treat it with the same amount of reverence, our own actions with that kind of reverence? And then we might not be careless with them, which is different from being powerful is not the same as being in control, but it draws very strongly to me is this way you were talking about. One of the things about being a human is that we have this privilege of being able to have a story about things and choose what stories we have. And some stories are better than others in the sense of being more life-giving or kinder or embodying more wisdom or care or something. And allied to that is we have this gift of intention that we get to choose with what intention we do what we do and what kind of attention we bring to it. And that is just sort of on a level of philosophy, I suppose, that there's quite a strong undercurrent in contemporary culture to say that we don't really have that we're essentially, I heard this term the other day, wet machines, you know, which sort of implied that there are even people who say that our consciousness is an illusion, which seems nonsensical to me, because for my consciousness to be illusion, something has to be experiencing an illusion, which means I have to be conscious to experience. I mean, there's all kinds of troubles with that, but the point is not the philosophical argument. The point is, it's not that hard to have a story about ourselves that says we're just mechanisms in a great big mechanism when we don't really matter and it's not really up to us. And it's true that there's a lot that isn't up to us in the sense of how we're shaped by who and what came before and the kind of bodies we have and the social structures in the world that we find ourselves in, and like all kinds of stuff is outside of our capacity to control. But that doesn't mean that we ever give up these twin possibilities of how we pay attention and what our intention is. And that's why I think that even when we make a small act that nobody else witnesses but we do, that this claim that Nick makes, that it resonates out into existence in very profound ways, I think it's equally true. Because it's not to do with the immediate visibility. The fact that I'm changed by what I do changes existence. It will also change my interactions with other people. So, what a joyful and sacred and solemn kind of responsibility it is when we can take on that how we approach each moment is of significance and is of meaning, and that is in our gift, even if the range of actions we have available to us is small, and even if we're not famous or well known or, you know, have big reach, but have very, very close in reach, that's true all the time. And that sometimes I find that frightening, but more than anything, I think it's an absolute wonder that that's who we can be.
I feel like this conversation meets like a really deep human need to be known by the world, like to be recognized or something. And I'm recognizing in me, you know, this whole thing about being famous. It's like, I don't know, I feel like there's a part of lots and lots of people that wants to be well known. And to have an impact. And I think it's like, for me, I feel like if you don't have reach, you can't be powerful, or you can't impact, you can't be known in the way that part of me wants to be known. And so somehow this conversation is also kind of testament to the fact that I'm not alone. I don't know, I'm just kind of somehow making this connection by wanting to be known for something or have a legacy of something. Is a kind of distorted version of, or a kind of, like a personal version of the universal thing that belongs to all of us, which is, I want to matter. It matters very profoundly to this human to matter in the world. And maybe fame is like one of those places that we would be assured that we matter. But I mean, interestingly, maybe if you emailed and interviewed lots of famous people about them feeling like whether they mattered or not, I wonder what that would bring, because I not that I know loads of famous people or something, but there's been a few people over the years that have been kind of once removed. And I think it's really hard to be famous, as I've understood it. And for everybody to know you and know your business and all of those things is hard. So I wonder how lonely that feels, which is kind of the irony. And anyway, I just feel a bit kind of thrown into wondering about, like, who do I want to be famous to? Like, maybe I could be famous to my, I think I am quite famous to my daughter, Beth. But mm-hmm. What does it even mean, famous? I now want to look up the word famous to see what that means. But I feel like this really helps me to feel the size that I am and to feel the dignity in that. And to walk out of the, I'm going to go to the farmer's market today, and like to walk out of my door feeling like I'm the size that I am, and I have the power that I have. And that doesn't mean that I have the power to call off a rail strike or change the way that our climate is going. But I do have the power to be who I want to be today. And I do have the power of my intent and the power of my being a person who is kind, for example, or takes the time to attend to another human being, whoever they might be, and to see people. And I think for me, that's the kind of central wish, is to be able to be myself and to have faith and confidence in walking out of the house and being in my house and feeling joyful and powerful and impactful, even if it's on the scale that's just mine, because it follows what Nick is saying, that however small my actions are, they have this vast consequence and ripple effect into the universe.
This conversation about being famous, because I think this is exactly what we're talking about, exactly what Nick is talking about, is that there is this myth in the culture that the only people who matter are the ones who are widely known, or it's so not the case. It's such a mistake. It probably serves the projects of fame to have a story that the only people who really matter are the famous ones. Like, that keeps that whole edifice going. Right? You can make your money out of being famous or something, you know? Get status out of being famous. But actually, as you were talking, Lizzie, I was also just thinking about another way of looking at this, which is, it's really easy to think in terms of cause and effect. Like, my actions only matter if I can trace that I did this and that produced this and that produced this. And when look, it produced that over there. But another whole is, and we're very used to thinking about cause and effect. It underlies a lot of the Western way, in particular, that rightly in certain domains we want to be able to understand something, because we can say that thing happened and it made this happen, and that gives us lots of power to. But there is another whole way of looking, which is that what we are is, we're participating in life's being what it is, and then how each of us acts and our intent and our attention and what we choose is an ongoing unfolding expression of life being itself, and how we are in that shapes life's existence. Like, life, will life be more or less kind? Will life be more or less wise? Will life itself be more or less attentive? Will life unfold into its possibilities or be constrained? If instead of thinking about cause and effect, I did this and it rippled out and caused that, which is a good way of thinking, it's a useful way of thinking, but instead I sort of went, every time I am up to something, I am a participant in the whole of the sum of life being what it is at this point in time is in my grasp. And then it doesn't even have to be that, you know, all the times that we speak to another person, it makes a difference to them, which I'm all up for. But it's also how I go about watering the plants in my house. Mm-hmm. Or how I choose to pay attention to the light coming in through the window or something. They suddenly come inside the realm of the tremendous power that we have that ripples out radically through time and space, changing everything.
Yeah, Justin, I can't help but think of the times when I think, well, no one can see me, so this thing doesn't make a difference. You know, no one can see me. Like, I've made a vow to myself that I'm not going to eat chocolate at the moment, for example. But if I sneak around the corner to Tesco's and get a dairy milk, no one's going to see me. And it's like, oh, hold on a second. I feel like this is an invitation to feeling like we're seen. That we're seen and experienced and are experiencing, whether we think, whether our smaller story is that we're alone or not. So you're seen as you water your plants. There's a seenness that belongs to us all that isn't about validation from another human being or something. It's other than that. And I feel like that's a very, I don't know, it's so easy for me to feel alone. So easy for me to feel separate from everything. And like I'm not witness, or I'm anonymous, or I'm part of things. And so this invitation to feel part of and to feel connected in like this is really, I don't know, it's like a, feels like a very big long inquiry to hold and to let it be true, to let it be true as an experiment that I'm, that I matter. I matter in my trips out to Tesco to get a chocolate bar. I matter to, in the moments where I'm trying to look up how to plant a sweet pea, or I matter in the moments where I'm trying to clean out a pot that's kind of got something disgusting in it that I forgot about in the garden, or, you know, basically kind of things I'm going to do today. And they're not social activities, you know, they're like things I just have to get on with myself. And there's some social activity that also, as you say, matters in terms of the way I am with people, and the way I am with the glass vase is matters just as much as I am with the person whose play I'm going to go and see.
Oh, what a wonderful place to end our conversation. Sitting together in the mattering of everything. And thank you, Lizzie, for always being such an open and luminous presence in our conversations, bringing yourself as if, because it does, as if it matters in every moment. And thank you to everyone who's with us, because one of the things that I'm coming to see from our conversation is how we listen matters too. Mm. So the big rippling conversation that goes on, that starts here with the choice of a source and then notches out one level because we get to talk, but then simultaneously notches out an infinite number of levels because of the conversations inside and between everyone who's with us, whether you listen privately or whether you share it with someone else or talk to someone else or who knows. The way which we conduct ourselves in the world means something. So all being well, we will be back next week with a source that you're going to choose for us, Lizzie. And we'll see you all then.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Justin.